Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Am I the only one on?
Well, we just started, so yes. Well, we're here.
Yeah, we are here. We are somebody.
Okay. We're waiting.
Yeah, it's just like 2 minutes in the call, so.
Yeah, we tend to just sort of chat for the first 5 minutes or so, and then we'll get into the material.
Okay.
It gives people a chance to arrive and to introduce themselves. All that
I'm
good
usually
stuff.
I'm running late, so today I just logged on at 9 in the dot, but sometimes I'm like 7 minutes late.
Well, you're doing good. We feel pretty good that we're here on time.
I'm sorry.
It's been one of those days. It's, you know, we just finished up the Antares window for the stellar codes, and today we're kind of kicked back and relaxed and saying,
yeah, right.
Ooh, let's relax. Of course, that didn't happen.
But it will eventually.
But it will eventually.
You know, I'm really
anytime.
Grateful for what you guys are doing. And
thank you.
I've been trying to keep up with all the material, and it's been really interesting and really helpful for me.
Well, if you're trying to keep up with all the material, there just happens to be a new ebook on lucid dreaming. Amazingly enough, we're having a teleconference on it tonight.
Yes, with the book. Yes. Yes.
And that is over in Spiritual Exercises in the Online Resource Center. So.
Okay, I have to get that.
Now, I was going to say, nobody knows about it yet because literally I uploaded it 2 minutes before this conference call.
I was wondering if there was...
And then I'm going to tell everybody it's been there all along, and, you know, they should have noticed it.
Yeah, that's what he does. But yeah, we just upload with some techniques on how to induce lucid dreaming, work towards lucid dreaming, how to get out of some bad experiences while you're dreaming. So it's an interesting thing, you know, very interesting. Dreams are always very interesting factors in our lives, you know, windows for us to understand ourselves better and how we actually interact with reality and all the jazz.
Well, it's fascinating how many different things dreams do for us. You know, it's and on one sense it's a kind of like a mini vacation for your conscious mind, but at the same time the subconscious also sends messages to the conscious mind of things it wants it to work on. And then taking that one step farther, it is often through the subconscious mind that we're able to access and process information that comes to us from our higher selves.
Right.
So it's practicing techniques of lucid dreaming and being able to work with your dreams and interpret them is a very important aspect of understanding yourself.
Right. I've always been interested in dreams, and I just this year I started to look up a little bit of like the psychology part of dreams and like the, you know, what the Freud and Jung wrote about it, because I feel almost like I go somewhere else when I'm dreaming.
Well, like, Freud was big on dreams. Jung was big on dreams also.
Yeah, the you know, Jung continued the work of Freud, because Freud is, I think, the biggest insight Freud had was the fact that, see, there are some archetypes, mythological archetypes, that repeat itself in people's lives. But unfortunately, he just had eyes for one.
Yeah, Freud was, like, big on sex.
Yeah, and
right.
And, you know, all the elements surrounded Oedipus' life, the relationship with his mother, the relationship with his daughter, the relationship with the father that he ended up killing. So all this, you know, and he thought that the myth of Oedipus wasn't big enough to encompass all mankind consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
What Jung, when came afterwards, he started studying myths and said, no, actually everybody have, in one way or the other, a contact with the archetypes, which are where the myths go, the story told on myths to have. So Jung saw that we have a series of experiences in life that imitates the storyline of the big myths or the archetypical journeys. Like when you talk about Hercules' archetypical journey going through the 12
labors,
which is actually, you know, a story of a semi-divine man going to pursue the way to bring back his own divinity.
And that's really an amazing archetype when you apply that to your spiritual life, because there is divinity in all of us. And Hercules' journey was his journey from understanding and accepting the fact that he did have a divine nature to embracing it and becoming, a god.
Coming back to the original state as divine. Well, or when you reenact another, you know, for us that, you know, in one way or another are performing or living a role of a healer, most of us come to the realization that we are healers because we went ourselves to experiences of healing and where we have to find our own power inside for healing ourselves, and then it's naturally that this comes out, which is another legend or archetype, the archetype of the wounded healer.
Or Chiron.
Or Chiron. So there is a multitude, and this is what basically you have when you investigate the main, I would say, universe of Dreamtime. Another interesting thing that I believe, you know, is about the dream is the fact that we can relate to symbols, even though there are, you know, and we're going to go through this, there are different types of dreams, and there are dreams that we call dreams of the body, dreams of the mind, dreams of the soul, and we have the huge dreams, which are archetypical dreams. But the interesting thing is when the dreams are categorized in the lower level, not all the symbols serve everybody. For instance, for certain people, the fact of being, dreaming with the house catching on fire can have one meaning for me and another meaning for you. Maybe I went through a trauma or living through experience, which I did, to have a house caught on fire. You know, and it's like just burning, and so for me this has a entire, when it shows up again on a dream, and may have a different significance than from a person that's seeing a house, you know, catching on fire. So there are, I would say, realms of understanding of symbology in dreams, and that's the reason I just have actually one book that I recommend on dream symbolism, which I don't have it anymore. I know the name of the it's a book of dreams dictionary, and I think you can find it on Amazon. The name of the woman is Colleen. Now I don't remember the last name.
We'll track it down and we'll post it as a link.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things you need to be careful of with interpreting dreams is that, you know, as Lena was saying, the symbolism can change. For instance, a lot of people say, well, an owl means this. But an owl doesn't always mean that for you. You know, owls can mean different things. And so you need to take a look at how it's presented in the context it's presented. But a lot of this sounds really complicated, but once you are able to connect with and work with lucid dreams, it's more natural because you are actually interacting with the dream and conscious of it, so you're able to interpret it more correctly than just watching a movie of it and saying, oh, well, there was an owl and there was a clown and there was also a whale that was flying, so that means I'm crazy, you know.
Now, the interesting point is, since you start having some exercises on lucid dream, it's you will create a link of familiarity with the symbols that are present there, and actually you can just stop and and get to a point. If, of course, you have to go to work, inside work, and say, I know I'm going to be lucid dreaming, and I know in that realm I cannot get hurt. So a lot of people have those weird dreams that they have monsters or entity or people running after them, and you feel like you have to hide or you have to do it.
Well, you have a wonderful experience with the dream way back when, because you were afraid of sharks after the movie Jaws came out.
Yeah, I was, Jaws, and I was like everybody else in my generation, a roar. I even thought that I would be attacked by sharks in the swimming pool. So anyhow, my thing was, I was always having the same dream. And it always like this. I'm in the middle of the ocean, like a ship sunk. I'm in the ocean. I see the sharks come. They come and eat me, and that's it. And it was one after the other, and one after the other, and one after the other. And I start doing group therapy to work with fear. And one of the things that the therapist said, have you ever occurred to you to ask the sharks why they're eating you? And I said, you're going to be something like that. That's so stupid. You know, like I'm going to ask my shark.
So?
And then I did. And then, like, one of those days, I was there again in the same place. And I said, I even told myself, there you go. You know, just wait for them to come and, eat me. And sure enough, they came. And then I went down. As they came close, I put my head under the water. I look at them and say, why? Why are you eating me always? You know? And I punch them. And they look back at me. And that was the fascinating part, because they look back at me and said, oh. You know we are here. I said, yes. You know, and then they went away. When I put my head outside the water, it was not nighttime anymore, as it always was. The day was coming. So I talked with the therapist and said, you know that crazy thing that you gave to me, that to talk with the sharks? So I did. And they went away. She said, well, I was waiting for you to face them, because they are the personification of all your fears. You know, because sharks, Jaws, it was like a childhood fear, you know, and encompassed every single fear I had. Fear of rejection, all the human fears, you know, I had it all. I had it all. Fear of being rejected, fears that I would never be good enough, fears that I would not make it, fears that I will be a disappointment, or, you know, things like that. So the sharks for me were a personification of all the fears, not only the fears of Jaw, but that was the only symbol that my unconscious mind could send to me and say, you need to stop.
Because this is a fear that is not really relevant in your life. And once you master that, the fears that were, you know, the silly fears that we have, because we all have them, stopped manifesting, not only in her dream time, but also in her waking time. So we've gone in about 15 minutes, so I'm hoping we've got some other people here. Has anybody else showed up?
Yep.
I'm here.
Oh, yep. All right.
All right.
Good.
We've got people.
We got people.
It's always one of the things that when we do these teleconferences, and we're doing this in conversation mode so everyone can talk, but we don't do that when we have a really large group of people. But the problem is when we have a really large group of people, we're in presentation mode, we just kind of talk out to the universe, and we're hoping someone is actually there.
So this is more a conversation thing, and then...
And we want you to ask questions and interject if you've got something as we're talking, and it's like, well, wait a minute. This applies to something I've seen, so we've got some more real-world examples to discuss, because it's a whole lot more helpful. I mean, you guys, and for those of you who don't know, there is now an e-book on the website. It's in the Spiritual Exercises section of the online university. We just posted it. It's on lucid dreaming and a few techniques. Now, we'll go into more techniques as we get into it, but we wanted to get something up there for you quickly.
Yes. So going back, what are the different type of dreams? just I'm just gonna make a big soup of it. So you have different type of dreams because we dream differently every night according to how your body is responding to activities, your daily activities. So, for instance, a basic dream is what you call dreams of the body. This is 3D reality. So you dream that you had to wake up, had to put your clothes on, and go to work, put gas, and you dream that you are doing things that you do every day. You know, it's the kind of boring dream, but this is what, when you're very tired, that's what your mind connects just to keep you going on the same cycle that you are, do what you're doing every day so you don't lose the rhythm. You know, the body says, well, they're going to you're going to be very sick or going to be not responding to the outside stimuli. So the body connects the dreams, what you call corporal dreams, and then you dream that you're putting gas in your car, driving the kids to school, and keep picking up dinner in the store. So those are what you call body dreams, things that you do every day. You have what you call the emotional dreams. The emotional dreams, they usually are, it can have more than one nature, but usually they come as a compensation. So, which is quite different from the soul one that we're going to tell later, but the next one. But the emotional dreams, which are dreams of your emotional body. So you dream with this wonderful person that you never met, or you dream that you are seeing people that are like very close to you, or even people that you don't know, but on the dreams, they are very close, so you know them very well. This is a dream, what you call, from the emotional body. Can be connected or not with other realities. But usually, the emotional dream, strict to senses, very limited, is always of a certain compensatory nature. Or, like, you dream that you got back to somebody, you know, that wronged you, and you go back and you dream, like, I don't know, throw paint in their hair. You know, something on this nature, but it's always compensatory. Now, you have the spiritual dreams. The spiritual dreams is when you really go to places and you see people, and you can go in time. You can see yourself in childhood. You can see, witness somebody else that you know historically that fact exists, and you're just a witness. It's a more, the realm of possibilities of the spiritual dream is much bigger. And then you have the last level of dreams, what we call the archetypical dreams. Those are rare. They're not impossible. It's like,
but you're not going to have them every night.
Yeah, it occurs, in a lifetime, numerous times, but mostly people don't have the capability to retain it because it can be easily dismissed. Under saying this is too much fantasy, I drink too much Coca-Cola and ate too much pizza last night. That's probably what it did. But the archetypical dream is like, for instance, out of nothing, you witness a coronation of a pharaoh on a temple in Egypt. Or out of nothing, you see the young Arthur king pull the sword out of the rock. The Excalibur out of the rock. Or you see something transcendent like angels stalking. Or like recently somebody in the university had a dream that they witnessed the fall of Lucifer. So those are very powerful dreams, but they are what we call archetypical, on the archetypical realm. So, in general, even though it's very much a thin line between each one of them, I think the one that you can identify the most and put a divider is the corporeal dreams or corporeal dreams or dreams of the body. Other than this, it's kind of each limit gets fuzzy as it grows up on the scale. Now, what is the difference between a common dream and a lucid dream? First of all, let's make a difference between what is a lucid dream and what is an astral projection or astral traveling for most of us. The difference between the astral projection and lucid dream is the movement and the frequency and the brain waves that your body is producing or was educated to vibrate, or I'm using educated as trained to vibrate, because most of us does this during the night normally, because this is how, you know, this is our training. You know, we use the time to sleep not only to rest the body, but for our spiritual, emotional, and our, I would say, out-of-body training, our multidimensional life. So the difference, there is difference between astral traveling and the lucid dream, basically, is the brain waves. So during the dream, you know, you have more brain waves than the astral projection. And you see that because it's a scientific study. During the dreaming stage, you have the REM, where you have a rapid movement of your eyes, REME or something like that. I'm Brazilian, Portuguese gets everything, you know, backwards. So this is the way. The second one, you need to get on the delta stage of deep sleep to the point that you can get out of your body and be able to see your body as a distinctive entity from your soul or your, you know, astral body, which is the body you use to travel around. So the difference between, there is a difference, the difference between is on, is reside on the type of brain vibration during the process. Now, our speciality today is, lucid dreams. So you guys, if you have any questions, please interrupt me, otherwise I'm going to go forever. lucid dreams. What is the advantage to really practice the techniques of lucid dreams? Lucid dreams can be, I regard as extremely useful technique, because will give you not only control over astral traveling, if you want to develop later on, it can give you the basic understanding and practice of what you call dream sharing. When, if you have somebody else that knows how to do that as well, you guys can program and share a dream. You know, it's like almost going to the movie, you know, but much cheaper. You know, you can go to a dinner and a movie in a very cheap way. And, you know, you can develop the possibility to travel to time, travel to space, visit places and learn from places. One of the interesting things about lucid dream as well is that you can develop a level of understanding and control that you can go and visit your Akashic records on the spot. So you can access your records and know your life story, purposes, and story, in the story of a life, which is very useful if you are able to face everything that's there. It's useful, because I'm telling you, it's not everything rainbows and unicorns.
Sounds a little ominous there.
Yes, so this is one of the things. Now, how to control this? What is it that makes a dream being a dream and be a lucid dream? A lucid dream is a dream you get in and you realize, well, where I go from here. You're not a passive element. You become an active element. When you develop this, you can actually not only, like I did, you know, that was this one time with the sharks, but you can actually interact with internal elements and of your, you know, emotional nature, of your psychological nature, of even at, with some characters or entities. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people that I have talked to had experiences of talking to demons, and they were in horrible shape. And usually, you know, and again, there's a fuzzy line between the spiritual and emotional dreams. And if you were going to do the interpretation of the demons in an emotional place, you can say that they are parts of you that were not accessed or elements of you that were repressed, and they come to you in that shape because they need to be acknowledged, embraced, and healed.
That's a completely different animal than talking to a demon on, say, an archetypical dream.
Exactly. So, depending how it goes, and when you are in a lucid dream, you can actually feel the difference and say, you will be, you know, you know that nothing in that dream will hurt you, first of all, and you have to face it. And you can change and say, no, this is not going to go this way. This is going to go this way because I want to. Now, how do we get from point A to point B? Hello?
Somebody with background. Go through point A to point B, and then let's stop and ask a question.
Okay. How you can go from point A, which is to have a plain dream. I mean, plain dream doesn't mean that it's a boring dream. A dream, and have a lucid dream. There are techniques. And they may take some time because you have to kind of have a connection between your conscious mind and your unconscious mind. And then when you develop this, you know, the integration of your active part on your dream is much easier. There are techniques. And one of the techniques I recommend the most is, you know, and it's something that will need self-suggestion before you go to bed, is, it's the most efficient one. You go to bed and say, when I'm dreaming tonight, I'm going to remember, whenever I'm dreaming, I'm going to remember to see my hands. And it will take a little while to you remember inside of a dream. Maybe not. I did. You know, it's like, okay, my hands. And it stopped like here. And I look put both of your hands in front of you and try to look at it.
This is probably the best first technique to get a hold of lucid dreaming.
Yeah, you need, what you do is, when you remember the first time you're going to see your hands, they're going to look like fuzzy. Almost like, even if you're keeping it steady, the fingers will look like they are in slow motion, moving back and forth, down and up. But you continue doing. And when you get to the point that you can see your hand as you're seeing and looking it is right now, you have control. It may take more than once, but it does happen. The second thing, which is still self-suggestion, you can say before you go to bed, you clean your mind. And when you get into that stage that you are detaching, you're feeling that you're almost getting out, you make a suggestion. I want a dream. I'm just giving a suggestion. I want a dream tonight that I'm flying. I want to fly. And give the suggestion. If it doesn't work before nighttime, before, you know, when you fall asleep and don't dream, I have another technique that will make this go easier.
And these techniques are in the ebook that we just posted, by the way.